Everyone, welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's 0-0 draw at Stenhouse Muir, preview this weekend's visit of Clyde, and as Stuart McKenzie hits a personal milestone, we'll assess where he ranks amongst other Peterhead stoppers. Yes, welcome on to this week's episode of the Blue Team Podcast. I am Colin Boyles, and with me is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you?
Good evening. Yeah, I'm very well. Not too bad, yourself?
Actually not too bad. Enjoying these lighter nights now after work, so being able to get with a wee bit of longer waxing with the dog as well, which is good, which is all good and healthy for mind and body, I suppose.
So it's fine, it's lighter nights, but as we record, I'm sitting here with a jumper on because it's cold. I'm stubborn and then I want to put the heating on.
Oh, aye. It has been cold from we were waxed, but it's just been nice that it's a wee bit lighter so you can go just that wee bit further just for, you know, resetting your mental health and everything else. You know, you can just sort of disappear and get out for these little longer walks, and obviously it keeps the dog a wee bit quieter at night as well, although her snoring does get a wee bit louder the time she comes back. So yeah, no, it's good, and obviously we've got Easter coming up as well, obviously this weekend, so the kids are off as well for 2 weeks, so that'll be a joyous occasion for us all as well.
I'll wait to see how you look in 2 weeks with the kids home. That will be a treat, I can tell you.
Oh, I'm glad I'm working for at least one of them anyway. That's how it goes. Right, let's dive straight into it then. Let's get the set of this game against Stenhouse Muir. Then Ochilview. Obviously, top of the table, first against second. We sort of, when we previewed it last week, we sort of spoke about how tight the games have been. 0-0 up here, the first game, and obviously the 2-0 loss to you there, then 2-1 again up here, beating the end in the streak. So we did anticipate this one was going to be tight again, and that's exactly how it turned out. 0-0 it finished. Enjoyable first half, maybe not so much the second.
Yeah, I think that sums up pretty well. To be fair, first half, both sides really attacking. I think both teams wanted to win the game. Both teams set up for that. I thought our shape was really good. I thought the change of Andy McCarthy coming back in really, really helped us. And yeah, both sides, I think, wanted to win the game, especially in the first half. Second half, I think, especially the first half of the second half, it's a lot quieter. I think both teams sort of realised the importance of maybe nay losing the game. Mm-hmm. I think manager may be slightly more cautious in the second half. But I think for a 0-0, the top two teams and the table going head-to-head, I thought it was a good game. Both teams will probably come away for the game thinking they could have won it, but I think equally both teams would have been quite satisfied to get a point come 5 o'clock on Saturday.
And as we said last week when we previewed it, a point would have probably been a decent result. We would have known that a point still would have, regardless of how results went elsewhere, that we still would have been second, and that's exactly how it went. So perhaps there was that kind of mindset between the two sides, right? Stenny, obviously, if they didn't want to lose it, they just meant that gap was still going to be the same. Peterhead obviously didn't want to lose it because then they're in danger of slipping, doing it into third if they did.
Yeah, I think it's a better point for us than it is for Stenny, if I'm being honest. Stenny will win the league, it's just a matter of when, not if. But it was a good point for us, obviously going away from home to the Champions League, getting a good point and coming back up the road with a good performance as well. I think the confidence is just creeping back in, something we've been bemoaning for the last couple of months as well. So yeah, I think overall a really good day's work out, and you know, as you said, we would have remained still in second place.
Just the one change, as you mentioned, Andy McCarthy came in for Joe McKee, who'd picked up a knock and was fit enough to make the bench. And it was pretty much the same setup. McCarthy and McKee just kind of swapping in and out, and obviously just more or less the same. As we kind of spoke about last week in terms of, you know, McCarthy being on the bench for the previous two games, could they accommodate each other? Obviously one drops out, one comes in, and there's no change to the setup, or does interrupt the flow of the side.
Yeah, I think it sort of doesn't prove our point, but it sort of just emphasises the point we're maybe trying to make, that they're both very good players, but can they play in the same team? I, looking back on games that both of them have played, I think we do restrict ourselves a wee bit too much. And Saturday was a prime example. The first half, I thought we were really good going forward. Yeah, okay, maybe we gave them a couple of chances as well, but I thought the chances we created, it's getting players in the right area, getting players in the box, being a nuisance, being a pest up in the final third. So I think Andy came back, he screened that back four really well. Defence were really solid, and I think the change of Joe dropping out and Andy coming back in, as you said, it's a like for like. Doesn't really upset the balance of the team either, and yeah, I thought it was a really good change and a good performance.
With a bright start to the game, Hamish Ritchie with a header, Jiggy with a couple of efforts as well. One of them probably, one of the efforts was much more like Jiggy, trying to score for the edge of the 18-yard box.
Yeah, you can see face trying to do, just didn't quite maybe get the connection on it. Jinky, it was good, neat interchange outside the box. Hamish Ritchie had a chance with a header as well, and another day could be better. But it was a bright start against him. We've mentioned the last couple of weeks, we've looked a lot brighter going forward. And Jinky's been at the root cause of that last couple of weeks as well. Very direct. He's got that pace. He's got that low centre of gravity. Take players on, and he can also pick out a pass as well. Yeah, and another day he gets a goal on Saturday.
And he's been a bright spark in terms of performances in recent weeks. So the results maybe haven't been what we've been expecting, but. Jinky's been one of those more consistent players for us and seems to have been back to the player that was at the start of the season.
Yeah, I think a lot of players have maybe dipped below the high standards that they set in the last couple of months. But, Jinky, especially in March, I think he's been, really, really good. A lot of good play from him. And, he's got a couple of goals, a couple of assists in that time as well. So he's maybe just starting to come on a bit of form. And I think that sort of rubbed off on the rest of their attacking players as well. So Shanks has got a goal in recent weeks. Hamish Ritchie's starting to play a lot better. Peter Pollitt, his fitness is getting better and he's creating chances. Should have scored on Saturday as well. So, yeah, I think it's maybe just taking that one player to sort of take things by the scruff of the neck, and Jinky appears to be that player, and he's certainly coming on to the game at the moment.
Yeah, there's a good balance with that front three, if you like. You've got Jinky on one side, Hamish Ritchie on the other, Shanks through the middle. But being well supported by Peter Paul and Jack Brown in the middle.
Yeah, and I think that's why we kind of really, in my opinion, we kind of hate Joe McKee and Andy McCarthy playing the same team, because you then restrict yourself going forward. As good players as they are, I'm not convinced that they can play in the same team. Hopefully there's maybe a system that can work, but I think when you look at our team, we're very good going forward, and I don't know what to restrict us to be defensive-minded. I think you've got them players at your disposal. You've got to use them, as you said. Players like Jack Brown, Peter Pollitt, very, very good players. Have got an eye for a pass as well. And this is when you've got to allow, your goal scorers to try and finish the chances off.
The problem is we've got too many good players and we're scoring. That's what it
is.
Yeah,
but I mean, when you go around and you look at the squad, we do have a very good squad. It's just a case of trying to get them all, in the same team, and sometimes it doesn't work.
We sort of kept the home side to more or less sort of efforts for distance. I don't think there was any sort of real clear cut efforts within the box. There was that one sort of overhead kick, but it was well over. But the rest of the time, we restricted them to efforts for distance. Which, if you're doing that, then obviously you're doing someone well.
Yeah, I think Goldie and Strachan had very, very good games. And yeah, just a wee shout out to Caleb Goldie, because he came up for a wee bit of criticism for a period of time, a couple of games. He didn't look quite as settled at centre back. I thought it was really, really good alongside Ryan Strachan on Saturday. And as you said, we limited them to long range efforts. The one that Stuart McKenzie sort of went to, try and catch it, and he sort of put it in the post for a corner. There was a free kick that was well saved. And as you said, if you're restricting the league leaders to that, then you're happy with the performance.
Maybe Goldie's still having nightmares about Dijon Golden at Elgin, because yeah. that was kind of the catalyst there. But yeah, no, that since then, once he's gotten settled in, and I think as well having Ryan Strachan alongside him has helped his development and his confidence at playing at centre half again.
I don't think it's a coincidence that Caleb had a shaky couple of games at the same time as Ryan did. And I think now, obviously, because obviously we lost Scott Ross and Jason Brown being out injured, a bit of a rejig at the back. Ryan had a couple of games out with injury and he's come back and played really, really well. And also Caleb sort of stepped up as well. So I don't think it's a coincidence. I think both of them have maybe sort of figured out a partnership together. And yeah, they've both played really well in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Second half was a difficult game, you know, early on, as you said, it seemed to be much as the same as the first half. But once we're into that spell where the substitutions are coming on, it does interrupt the flow a little bit. And you did sense that, you know, both sides would have been happy with a point.
Yeah, I think game management, about the hour mark, you sort of seen that both teams, whilst they were still looking to try and win the game, they maybe weren't as ambitious as what they were in the first half. Once the changes sort of did come in, that as you said, the flow of the game sort of gets interrupted, you kind of get that rhythm. And probably both managers would have probably looked at the game and thought, yeah, actually quite happy with a point, then I'll lose the game. And I think it probably suited both teams at the end of the day. And yeah, from our point of view, I'm quite happy we've got the point and up the road.
Argument that we maybe could have won it at the death. Peter Pollitt's header could have won it for us.
Yeah, I think, yeah, being critical, they probably should score. It's a really good chance. Obviously, Pollitt, he's not known for his heading and goal-scoring ability in that area. But I think looking back on it, it's a good cross from O'Keefe. I think he's got to get the header on target, make the keeper, you know, at least make a save. And that was probably our best chance in the second half. There wasn't much in the way of a chance for either side in the second half. I think to have come away with 3 points and nicked at the end there with Pollitt's chance, hey, it would have been a perfect afternoon, but yeah, probably that point was the right result.
And Jordan said in his post-match after, I mean, if you're coming to a place like that, getting a 0-0, if that had been a playoff game, you would have been delighted with that result.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I think that not only was it a 0-0, it was a good performance. You can maybe think 0-0, oh, we've been battered and defensively we're really strong. Thought we're strong defensively and going forward. And another day, Hamish Ritchie's header, you've got Peter Pollitt's chance, Conor O'Keefe, one of them goes in the back of the net and you're laughing. But yeah, as Jordan rightly pointed out, if that had been a playoff game, you'd have been really happy with the performance and then coming back up to Balmour. So definitely signs of improvement over the last couple of weeks, confidence coming back into the squad. And as you'll go into the final 6-7 games, it's a real massive confidence booster.
And I think that 4 games against Steny, the 2-0-0s, the win and the defeats, almost sort of mirrors our season as a whole. You know, with the 2-0-0s, very tight games, very little in it. You know, maybe just one side could have nicked it either way. We obviously went down to Oakleview and didn't play particularly well at all. And got beat convincingly 2-0, could have probably been more. And then obviously we've beaten them to end their winning run and played well. And that's kind of summed up our season. We've gone through spells where we've played really well, maybe not getting the results that we were expected, played poorly at some occasions. And then we've had results like the one against Steny when we beat them 2-1 that was a bit unexpected.
Yeah, I think even the first time we played them up at Balmour, back in August and start of September, we probably should have won the game. There wasn't many chances in that game, but we had 2 really good chances in it and probably should have won it. So yeah, I don't think it's games against any that have sort of affected our actual ability to go and, you know, challenge for a title. It's the games against, you know, the teams in the bottom half of the table that have sort of been with Achilles' heel. But I think if you're looking to, if the benchmark is games against Steny, then we should be okay in the playoffs. Obviously, you never count your chickens, but I think we're definitely in the right frame of mind at the moment. I think confidence is now coming back, and you know, as we've said numerous times over the last 4.5 years, confidence is a massive thing in football. And when you've got that and your tails are up, then you know you can beat anybody that's put in front of you.
And it's 5 points out of a possible 12 against the you know, the would-be champions. And as you said, if you're taking points off of them, it's still been that far away, then it's results elsewhere that's been the issue.
Yeah, you know, you just need to look at, like, Elgin. We beat them 6-0 back in October. We struggled up at Borough Briggs. They came down here the other week and put in a really tough performance. That's the sort of games you're thinking, if you want to be in the round challenging for the title, and only being a couple of points in it, no disrespect, but that's the teams we've got to be beating. We mentioned back at Christmas time that we played Clyde, Forfar and Elgin. You wanted 9 points. You know, we didn't come anywhere near it. And that's probably the period. It was 4 defeats in 5 over Christmas time, you know, December and into January. And looking back on it, that's probably been the thing that's, you know, done us for the, you know, in terms of challenging for the title, because since we beat Stenny, they've had a bit of a wobble as well. But obviously, they've been so far ahead that they'll be fine. And that's probably the games that's probably been where we're down for.
And then there was the games as well where we had, I think it was Clyde, Forfar, Bonnie Rigg, all withdrew with them on a row. And again, that's probably where you're looking at where it's sort of floundered a little bit.
Was that after beating Stenny in January? I think we played Clyde. I think East Fife were thrown in the mix there as well, wouldn't it? Scott Ross with a last minute goal. Clyde was a last minute. Was it Rory McAllister with a penalty? I think it was.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, we've been able just to, I wouldn't say even hang on to second, because we scored last minute goals, which have been brilliant at the time. But you know, if you're being brutally honest, beating Bonnie Wright, Clyde, that's the teams that you've got to be putting to the sword to mount a title challenge. But hey, given where we were last season, obviously it was only the other day that we announced on our socials that David Robertson had, you know, it was a year in charge at his tenure. So, you know, we've come a long way in that time. If somebody said to us, you know, you'll be sitting here in March, end of March, looking really good in second place with a comfortable gap in the team in fifth, would have bitten your hand off. It's only because Stenny had such a good run back in, you know, the autumn time that they were in the position they're in. But yeah, I think we're looking good at the moment.
We're looking good at the moment. We've got 6 games left of the season. We're on a run of 1 win and 8. 6 of those have been draws, just a 1 defeat to Dumbarton. This is where you're now looking to, you know, build a bit of momentum going into that playoff games, and not, you know, being a little bit kind of wary of and not playing well. But as you said, we have started to maybe play a little bit better, and now we're getting the players back as well. I think we had 8 on the bench on Saturday as well, so you know, the squad is almost back to full fitness again.
I think we've got to take massive heart and confidence for the game on Saturday, not just the result and getting a point away to Stenny, but the performance was really, really good. You know, Jordan touched on it, as we said in his interview, you'd have been happy in a playoff game with that. But we need to build on it. There's no point in having a good performance and a good point on the road to then follow up the following week at Hope McLeod on Saturday. We'll come on to that. But, you know, there's no point putting in a below-par performance and then bemoaning that we've got a 0-0 or we've lost a game 1-0. We're now in a position where we're looking good in the playoffs, but as you said, you want to go into it with confidence. You don't want to just, you know, stagger over the line and get in by finishing third and your form's out the window. You want to go in a good frame of mind, positivity. Players are coming back, as you said, Jason Brown hopefully back on Saturday, whether he's fit enough to start remains to be seen. Scott Ross isn't too far away. Peter Pollitt's fitness is getting better week in, week out. Jinky's coming on to a game. Shanks looks lively up front as well. He certainly played well the last couple of weeks. So yeah, things are looking good at the moment, but we've got to follow up the good performance on Saturday with a good performance and hopefully the right result as well at home to Clyde.
Right, let's get some of your thoughts from the game on Saturday then. Neil Thompson, we'll start with him. We were comfortable in most of the game and the better team overall. Pollitt gets involved much more positively and Goldie looks more comfortable centrally. Jack Brown, Shanks and O'Keefe kept him busy, with Ryan Strachan having a fine game. Quite a comfortable day against the champions elect, defended well and made some decent chances. Lee Esselment, the boys had a real determination today. Sean Beddy, for a 0-0 it was a great game. Peterhead were excellent and looked like the team on top of the table. Everyone played well, just couldn't get the goal. Ryan at the back was class again, and Pollitt was man of the match. Gary Shanks, would have grabbed a point away from home with both hands before kickoff. Peter Pollock was class. Caleb Goldie's growing into that central defence role. Keith Leslie thought the back four played well, especially Strachan, who's been good in form for the past few weeks. Just a pity we weren't able to score at the other end as regularly as we were in the early part of the season. Peter Pollock looked class. Jinky had a great effort, which was safe. Some of our play was great. Just couldn't finish off with a goal. Danny puts in a great shift. I'd like to see his top speed and distance cover data from the pods machine. I don't think we are privy to those that kind of information, but interesting that, you know, we're going in a game like that, and we're sort of, yeah, we're probably taking a draw, but there's almost a kind of element for some of those comments there that, yeah, it was pretty comfortable, but we could have maybe won it if we'd taken one of those chances.
Yeah, I think Steny would probably be thinking the same. If they'd taken one of their chances, they would have been comfortable in the game. So that's why I think a point was probably a fair result. It's good to see Peter Pauly getting the praise. I think he certainly deserves, and certainly he's played well in recent weeks as well. Good to see him getting the recognition he deserves. And yeah, I think overall the team looks a lot more cohesive over the last couple of weeks. I think, as you said, players are coming back from injury, and I think it's certainly helping what we've now got to kick on for the last, you know, handful of games.
And the confidence builds as well as the, you know, the clean sheets come in, the points against teams like Sestene, and mistakes seem to have disappeared as well.
Yeah, I think defensively we've looked a lot more solid. As I said, Danny Strachan's played really well this last couple of weeks. But I think, obviously, Caleb at centre-back along with Ryan, As I said earlier on, Caleb had a bit of a dip in form the same time as Ryan did. Ryan went out the squad with injury, then he's come back in, and he's looked a lot more hungrier than he has in recent weeks. That was maybe the break that he needed. It's maybe one of them that didn't know what to drop Ryan, or Ryan didn't know what to commit the squad because he didn't have Scott Ross and Jason Brown. It's maybe just the timing of things, the way it worked out, that he was forced to take a spell on the sidelines. But yeah, look, defensively, I think we're looking a lot better. Saturday would have been a prime example of, I didn't fear at any point that we were, you know, massively under the cosh or we looked like conceding, whereas maybe in recent weeks we've maybe thought we'll look a wee bit under the cosh here, we might concede. That didn't happen on Saturday, and I thought we were really good going forward.
I think it's a mark of where we're at, because if you look at the game, you couldn't really tell which side was the runaway leaders and who was sitting second.
Yeah, that's a positive. I think we've always given Steny a part of the defeat down there, and the pouring rain. But I think the other games, it's all been very competitive. We've always been in the game. As we said earlier on, it's games against other teams that sort of let us down in some of the performances away from home against the lower half teams. And that's something, you know, there's six games left to go. We'll need to improve on that if we're going to be in the playoffs with a good performance and going in with good form.
Yep, and Stuart McKenzie was instrumental in keeping the clean sheet. Had a few saves on Saturday, comfortable saves. Probably you'd probably be describing there wasn't like an absolute worldly save, but he didn't need to do that because, as I said, defensively we looked pretty comfortable, and that was his 10th of the always Peterhead career. So. You know, given that where he were this time last season, clean sheets were non-existent for him. I think it took him about 9 games before he got his first. So a big milestone for him personally.
Yeah, I remember Fitzgerald first came in, last year, back in January. And yeah, his first couple of games were a wee bit ropey, a couple of decision making in there, but he wasn't helped by the team that he played in. Let's be honest. But yeah, definitely, he's a keeper that you can almost rely on week in, week out. Very rarely does he make a mistake. And as you said, 10th clean sheet, and you consider most of them would have been this season. One maybe he got last season. You know, you're the stats man, maybe we'll kind of...
He got one last season. That was the 1-0 win against Edinburgh.
So there you go, 9 this season. It just shows you... Normally, defensively, very, very good, and you know a huge part of that has been Stuart McKenzie in the goals.
And we sort of laugh about, you know, the decision making that he was making last season maybe forced upon him because of the playoffs that was in front of him. I remember one game he came flying out, you know. I can't remember what game it was, but you know, we had like, if you know, the playoffs that we had in front of him, and no wonder he was trying to deal with long balls that he didn't necessarily need to, but he just had no confidence in his defence at that time.
Yeah, that was the sort of game that stuck in my mind. I think it was either a second or third game. It's a ball over the top. Defender sort of facing towards the keeper. And he's come charging out. He's taken the... he's cleared the ball, but he's only put it to the opposition striker. They eventually scored for it. And I remember us looking at each other and I'm thinking, oof, if it's happened to Stuart McKenzie. Because also we remember him before playing in previous games and everything. McKenzie's a good goalkeeper. Yeah. We thought, what's happened here? But obviously, as I said, the players that he was playing in defence back then, there's maybe a reason why he wanted to come out and deal with things himself. But hey, this season, much, much better. I wouldn't even say he's a better keeper. I just think he's got that confidence with the defence in front of him. And, you know, that's a massive thing for a goalkeeper. And yeah, many a times he's kept us sort of bailed the suit with a clean sheet.
So he's become the eighth period keeper to get 10 or more clean sheets since obviously we joined the SPFL. You want to hazard a guess at any of the names that might be above him?
Above him? No, I wouldn't like to hazard a guess. Mathers, Fleming.
Yep, there's two.
There's two at the eight. Yeah, go on then, hit me with the others.
So, just above him on 11 is Jonathan Bateman. He had 11 and 43. Then we go Paul Jarvie, 16 and 78. Then we've got Ivor Peary and Michelle Kula as well in 19. Fleming, he's sitting in third at the minute. 48 clean sheets he got in his 126 games. Graham Smith sitting second, he's got 56 and 189. Paul Mathers, top of the tree, 63 clean sheets in 184 appearances.
How much was Graham Smith?
Graham Smith was 56 in 189.
Didn't I realise it was so many clean sheets that you got? Probably doing him a massive disservice there, like, but yeah. So it's surprising he's got so much, but maybe just shows you how good a goalkeeper he actually was and probably went unrecognised.
Yeah, it's interesting because we've had, like obviously Fleming, I guess is the last one that we've had for, you know, a multitude of seasons. Obviously before him was Graham Smith, and then obviously we had Mathers, you know, way back in the sort of early 2000s, and we've sort of gone through spells of having really good keepers. I mean, you know, Brett Long, for example, was decent. He had 9 clean sheets in his 42 appearances. But there's an asterisk next to that 42, obviously, because one of those appearances was off the bench in the Trust Trophy against Dundee. So technically 41 games in goal, but one game out with as well. And obviously we've had Lenny Wilson as well recently. Good keeper. Arguably could have had a run in the side, but his and his as well. So a lot of decent keepers, but I think, you know, McKenzie, given the age is where he's at, maybe, you know, a couple of seasons, we could maybe get one.
Yeah, you've also got Josh Ray. He could throw into that mix as well. Yeah. He was at a time with also Brett Long and Lenny Wilson, so a couple of good keepers over the recent years. I think certainly Stuart McKenzie would have had more clean sheets than he had the defence in front of him last season. Let's be brutally honest, some of the players that was in front of him last season was just well below the standard that Peterhead set and probably expect as well. Completely different now, a lot of really good players in front of him. And yeah, I'm sure next season he'll rack up the clean sheets, but hopefully he's got another 6 in his locker. So, well, I'll say, what is it, 8, 9 left in his locker, that means we get promoted.
He's obviously just been with us just over a year. Obviously, it was January last year he signed. He's approaching 50 games. Difficult to kind of maybe rank him amongst some of those there, but where would you sort of put him in amongst the goalkeepers that we've had and some of the goalkeepers that we've mentioned?
Yeah, as you said, difficult sort of to, because obviously that his first part of his career at Peterhead was pretty bad in terms of the defence he was playing in front of. So he's got 9 clean sheets of this season. I think he's a very good goalkeeper. He would sort of be in the upper edges for me, but I think when you've got guys like Graham Smith and you've Fleming and Mathers, Ivor Piri, very, very good goalkeepers. So he's probably in around 4th, 5th sort of for me at the moment.
You look at them, Paul Mathers, for example. You know, having come to Peterhead, the twilight of his career, if you like, but you know, carried on playing well into his late 30s. Mackenzie's sort of like that as well, coming to Peterhead in his early 30s, and could, you know, well, if he keeps himself fit and plays the way he's been playing, there's no reason why he couldn't go on and play for another 3, 4, 5 seasons. And therefore, if he is playing for that sort of length of time, could be, you know, hitting that 50 clean sheets, 60 clean sheets.
Yeah, I mean, if he goes for another 4 years and he averages about 9, 10 clean sheets, and obviously he's going to be in that upper edges of competing with these guys. I see no reason why he can't continue. Is it goalkeepers can certainly go on a lot longer than they maybe did in the past with all the fitness and everything they can do these days. So, yeah, a really good goalkeeper. Certainly got no qualms. I've seen his name every week in the team sheet. I think he's there on merit. And, yeah, that's, I think he's a really good shot stopper. I think that's why it goes unnoticed at times. He's a tall lad, he's easy to come for crosses, but I think his ability to get down and shot stop sometimes probably goes unrecognised. And yeah, a very, very good goalkeeper.
Well, he's 36 at the minute. You know, Mathers was still playing for us when he was like 37, 38. Until obviously ended the way it did. He probably could have carried on a little bit further. In fact, it did carry on playing for other teams before he left. But yeah, he's definitely going to be one of those, and it'll be interesting see what happens next season. So we'll have him and Blessing there as well. Doubtful if Sandy Wood's going to get another contract, would take the option of another contract if those two are going to be the battling for it. So Blessing's named the Inverurie side at the minute. He's, I think that was expected. Obviously, Zach Ellis had broken his hand and they were needing a goalkeeper. And I think the understanding was that, you know, he'd have to fight for his place once Zach comes back. So, Blessing's going to have to come back next season and push Mackenzie.
Yeah, and that could be an interesting one as well, because Blessing would probably know he's going to be sitting on the bench most weeks. He's really going to have to push Stuart McKenzie a really long way to try and get that, you know, position off him, whether he'd want to come back and fight. I personally thought he'd maybe play more for Inverurie, you know, dropping down to the Highland League. I did, even with the injury to their goalkeeper, I thought he might have played more, but also in some of the games that he's played, he has conceded a few. Yeah, I don't know. I think that goalkeeping situation might be one to get reviewed in the summer, whether he'd want to stay and fight for his place or whether he'd want to move on, which would then make a space for us. Would you then want to go with Sandy Wood and Stuart McKenzie if something was to happen to Stuart? You know, there's a few things that could happen there, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's maybe a wee bit of movement in the goalkeeping situation.
It unless something goes happens to McKenzie, you know, in the summer, in terms of injuries and like that, it looks as though he would start as the number one. And then they maybe look at the League Cup and say, well, you know, you're going to get 2 games, you'll get 2 games, and see how it goes. Because obviously, I think it's something that they did this last time as well. And I think Blessing, you know, obviously we didn't win any more games, but he sort of came out with pass marks and actually got the clean sheet for the Steny game at the start of the season as well. He was in there, so, you know, there's an ability there for him, but it's just whether he can unseat Mackenzie for that number one spot.
I think it was the his confidence sort of got shot a wee bit with the Aberdeen B game. Remember, there was a 10-minute period in the second half. He conceded a goal. There was a penalty conceded, and then we were awful for a corner that came out and sort of flapped it and everything. And I just like that 10 minutes, he never sort of recovered for that for the last 15 minutes of the game. Yeah, we won the game in the end, but I think his confidence sort of took a shot for that, and maybe never quite, you know, got back up to that level. That I think there's a goalkeeper in there, I really do, but it's whether he's willing to fight for it with Stuart McKenzie for it, you know, pardon me, for over the season.
And having that experience of McKenzie with him might be the thing he might thrive on, rather than going somewhere and being a young goalkeeper and not having anybody to sort of guide him. Matt might work against him, or he might not. That's maybe something he doesn't want, but you know, McKenzie being at the club might be beneficial to Blessing.
It's a really difficult one, being the backup keeper, because if you're an outfield player, there's always a chance you can get on, but being the sub-goalkeeper, really, unless there's an injury or a suspension, you're not coming on. And you could stay at the club, try and fight for your place, and you're learning off the experience of Stuart, and also you've got Sandy Wood there as well. Or you can go and try and be your own goalkeeper somewhere. But as you said, if you've not got that support network running about you and that somebody to back you up with how your decision-making is going, then you're sort of, I wouldn't say hung out to dry a wee bit, but you're a very young goalkeeper trying to make your way in the game, and it can be very difficult. So it's not an easy one for Blessing either. He wants to do his career, but he's probably at an age now where, obviously he's only 18, 19, but you know, in terms of being a goalkeeper and his own ability, whether he wants to go and fight at another club or whether he wants to stay here and try and fight Stuart and learn off of him. Yeah, that's why I think there's maybe more to it than meets the eye on that one.
So let's get on to Saturday's game with bottom of the table Clyde. Like to keep mentioning the bottom of the table Clyde. Obviously, as I said, they are still in the 10th, but just now 2 points behind Shenron and Bonnyrigg. And it's worth noting Bonnyrigg have just changed their manager as well. Change of management after the game was Saturday, and then they were quick to get the new boy in. And if off the top of my head, I forgot his name. Did I say his name was Callum Elliott from
the Cowdenbeath
has come in. So they've been pretty quick to get that. And I think previous manager was sacked pretty much after the game on Saturday by all accounts. So they've changed their manager, and I think they're banging trouble. Stranraer are banging trouble as well, because obviously Clyde are on the up. That's you would look at that and say, well, you know, they're bottom of the table, we should be beating them, but you know, they are in a bit of form at the minute.
I think they must be one of the in-form sides, are they? Yeah, three wins out of their last five. There's no other team, Dumbarton, they've got 3 wins in their last five, but 2 defeats. So, yeah, I mean, a couple of weeks ago they were sort of written off, were they? And then they went to Awful View and just absolutely demolished Innisfree, and that sort of brought them right in. As you said, Bonnyrigg and Stranraer are the other two teams in trouble. I think Elgin and Forfar, I think they'll be safe. But, yeah. Clyde, I mean, there's always a bit of niggle between the two teams with Peterhead and Clyde, so they'll want to come up, and also if they get the win, they can, that they're going to jump out of that tenth position. So, you know, it'd be fine to get a win and sort of keep them banged down there in trouble. But yeah, I think coming up against an Ian McCall side, it's never easy. He's very astute. He's been around the game quite a bit, so he can't say his DNA. He showed that when he was up here last time. They changed their formation in the second half and almost worked for them. But yeah, I think this on paper, I think will be a very difficult game. But I think the confidence that we get from Saturday's performance, I think we should be fine.
Before we get too much into the preview of the game, on Saturday, the PFC Community Foundation, Peterhead Football Club Community Foundation, are looking for donations for the food bank. So they're looking for non-perishable groceries and toiletries, which you can drop off at the ground. I think it's under the or just at the office, I think it is. Before the game on Saturday as well. So obviously looking for donations to the food bank. Obviously that's a much needed thing for up in this area. So if you have any non-perishable groceries that you want to donate, or any toiletries you wish to donate, those would be much appreciated. And I'm sure they will go to good causes and obviously to the food bank as well, and it's part of what the Community Foundation is all about. So that's on Saturday, and I'm sure that'll be happening through into next season as well. So back to the game itself, and yeah, the last time it was a 1-1. We needed that late penalty from McAllister to secure a point. Obviously, as we spoke about earlier on, that was just the sort of start of a run where we were getting draws against sides where we felt we should really be beaten. And they've won 4 of the last 8 as well. And as you mentioned, that astonishing 6-1 at Stenny. So we shouldn't be taking them lightly here at all.
No, not at all. Obviously, if they go to Stenny and score 6, then there's a side in there. On that day, Ian McCall got the best out of them. Probably took Stenny by surprise, if I'm being brutally honest, the first half that Clyde had there. But focusing on myself, I think the confidence we'll get for Saturday, okay, it was a draw, but the performance was really good. Players coming back from injury, a more settled side. Obviously, there was only the one change on Saturday. And barring any injuries, I wouldn't be expecting many changes again, if any. We've got to go into the game full of confidence and looking to beat the team that's bottom of the table.
With the back four playing the way they are, you obviously they're playing well. And as it was mentioned in the post match, but Jason being on the bench, and would he come in? And Jordan says, well, because Ryan and Caleb are playing so well, there's no need to change it. And he may well have to sit on the bench again for this one.
Yeah, I mean, look, we kenned Jason pretty well, and he'd have been fighting to get back in the team about 3 weeks ago if he got away with it. But we're in that fortunate position where we do have quality in the squad, and we've said it all season, we didn't need to rush players back from injury. Obviously, Jason came back from his injury up at Borough Briggs. He had to come off, and then he tried to go through a couple of weeks, came off against Dumbarton on the Tuesday night, and obviously we then realised it was more serious. So we didn't need to rush him back. He can come back, if it's a couple of weeks' time, when he's everything's fully healed and he's had a good couple of training sessions. No need to rush him back, and I'd be pretty surprised if he started the game on Saturday. I'm sure he'll want to, but for the benefit of him and the team, I think maybe leaving it with Caleb and Ryan Strachan isn't the worst idea.
Because the foundations are there for keeping it tight and keeping that building on that clean sheet. It's just the other end where we need to stick the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, you're looking for your creative players, Jinky, Hamish, Kieran and Peter Paula, just to, for everything to come together. We came that Peter Paula's got that ability, he can unlock defences, he's done it a few times since he's come in. You're just looking for Kieran or Hamish and Jinky to be on the end of it. I'm sure it'll come together. The pitch wasn't that bad on Saturday, but I don't think there's a better pitch at League 2 than there is at Balmour. So getting the guys on there, getting to them to play the fullback, get the ball wide, get crosses in, play it on the deck. I think we should be fine.
Jordan Allen's obviously been a bit of an inspirational signing for Clyde since coming in on loan for Falkirk. 10 appearances, 7 goals, 6 goals in his last 5. He's sort of been the catalyst for their turnaround.
Yeah, not normally we would turn around and say, we'd try and pinpoint one player of the opposition, because obviously it means that somebody else can hurt you. But I do think he's a very, very good player, a very astute signing, getting him on loan. And one that we'll really need to watch out. I think, I think he will, a wee bit like his name is Kate, the guy at Elgin, the number 9.
Oh, Goldie. He
was on the shoulder of Caleb Goldie the other month. I think he might do the same again on Saturday with Jordan Allen. He might try and play it off Caleb Goldie and try and use his inexperience to their advantage. So something just to be wary of, but if we can try and stop the supply into him, then yeah, I think we'll be fine. Andy McCarthy screening that back four. I think we should be okay.
And it's a game that obviously there'll be eyes on it, but there'll be eyes on it from elsewhere, because Stenny will obviously be looking for us to slip up. If they win and we draw or lose, then obviously that'll hand them the title. Bonnyrigg and Stranraer actually play each other as well, so they'll be keen to. Clyde will be keen to, try and get a decent result and possibly overtake one of those.
Yeah, it's getting to the point in the season now where you start checking your phone more often and seeing what other scores are doing, because if you're drawn that your team running about you is getting beat, then all of a sudden it's now a bad point, you don't want to lose the game. Yeah, I think that's Stranraer Bonnie riding, the fact that Clyde are playing us away from home. That'll be a really crucial game at Stranraer. And I think Clyde will have one eye on it. I think if it's 0-0 and, you know, one of them teams are winning, they might try and, you know, try and force a win and get it. But yeah, as I said, focusing on us, I think we should be okay. If we can play that football that we can, we're capable of, then yeah, I think we'll be fine.
And the thing is, Dumbarton, sorry, Stenny, go to Dumbarton. So Dumbarton are sitting joint second with us. They obviously want to try and push on and kick on and try and get that playoff spot, because East Fife are sort of slowly catching, only 8 points behind them. Dumbarton will obviously want that psychological advantage of trying to get second as well. So it's an intriguing, it could be a really intriguing set of the.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want East Fife to beat Elgin and us to lose to Clyde, and that gap sort of becomes five, and then you're potentially down to third. That would then be, that would be the worst scenario, I think, to happen. Dumbarton win, East Fife win, and we lose. I think that would be the worst. So yeah, but I generally think we'll be fine. I don't think it'll be anything fancy, but I think the confidence it will get from Saturday with the performance. I think Clyde are in decent form, but they're now at the point, the stage where they've got to win games, so that might work in our favour in terms of they've got to open up a wee bit. They didn't really do that when they came up here at December time, but I think we'll take confidence and we'll be fine.
Right now, on the Blue Toon podcast, it is that time of the season again, where possibly, it is obviously the last one of this season, but possibly the last one for a wee while. It is, of course, the Paul Shanks section. I keep tripping that up. Definitely the last one of the season. Might be the last one for a wee while, Paul, but welcome back again. Big smile on your face for a change.
Yeah, just before I get going, Colin, just wanted to say a massive congratulations on your 200th episode recently.
Thank you.
Remarkable feat. I know how difficult it is to keep the content going, so we do that weekly for so long. It's a remarkable achievement, so keep up the good work, sir. As you say, a bit of a smile on my face. I'm getting used to this winning thing that Clyde have decided to start doing again. As we kind of touched upon just before we started kind of recording here, we still are bottom. There's still a lot of work to be done. And, yeah, we've got to build on the positives, but still be, obviously, realistic. We are still 10th. We are propping up the SPFL, as we have done for a long time this season. But yeah, as far as the outlook goes around the club just now, things are looking pretty decent.
You look at Bonnyrigg, you look at Stranraer, they are both banging trouble at the minute. Their form is sort of going wayward a little bit. You're obviously, I think, one of the form sides in the league at the minute, which is saying something. You're only, 2 points behind now. A few weeks ago, it was 10, 12. You've clawed it back.
Yeah, so, I mean, earlier in this season, at one point, we were as distant, I think, as 11 points behind.
Mm.
But I think January kind of really, with the opening of the window, and I think we kind of touched upon it before the February meet, the January we knew it was going to be huge for the club. And Ian McCall and Alan Mayland, they went to town. I mean, they had a budget and they went and they got players in, players of real quality. They moved on players as well. And it took a wee while for us to kind of see the fruits of that labour. But from February, and in particular, if I just look at my notes here, so I don't forget, the 8 games since we last obviously played against yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
In those 8 games, we've won 4, drew 1, had 3 defeats. Taking it back to the start of January, you've got 5 wins, 4 draws and 4 defeats. So the upturn in results is there. I mean, it's black and white. But I think February onwards, since we kind of started to bed these new guys in. We've just went from strength to strength, really. We've got guys like Jordan Allen banging in goals. We already had Martin Rennie, who, before Jordan came in, was one of the top goal scorers in the league. He just kind of went under the radar a wee bit, but he was still kind of getting the goals. They weren't always goals to win his matches, though. That was probably why it didn't maybe go kind of noticed. But yeah, just in general, the where we've been to where we're at now, we've got two teams in our sights. They are in very different trajectories from ourselves in the form guide. I think even 5 games ago, we were 8 points behind and also played a game more than both of the teams that are now currently above us. You rolled that forward to now play 30 and 2 points off. And if I'm getting greedy, and I'm sure you know, allow me to be greedy considering the season we've had, I'm just kind of disappointed we're not already off the bottom. We can play great stuff against teams that play football, like say yourselves, your Stennies, etc. Even Spartans as well, even though we've not beaten them this year. But when it comes to the kind of real ugly side of the game, that's not, you know, been our strength still this kind of part of the season, and that's where we've fallen down. The 4 defeats that we've had this calendar year were Forfar twice, Stranraer away and Elgin away. The 4 games where arguably it mattered the most.
Yeah.
And then we're moving into Bonnyrigg last Saturday. The fear was, and I hold my hands up, I was terrified. That morning when I woke up, my stomach was making biscuits, put it that way. It was churning all sorts. And I was sick, absolutely sick, because I thought, this is going to undo everything. Just the pitch, Bonnyrigg had me won, can tell you the last time they won a game.
Yeah.
Their form's been so, so poor. And yeah, it was not one for the purest, but for the first time this season, for the first time I think in a long time, a Clyde team won ugly. And it wasn't a pretty game of football, but they thoroughly deserved the victory at the same time. Saturday was a wee bit of an annoyance because we probably edged the game. It was a game where the conditions kind of played their part. It was ridiculously windy for Hamilton. It's not always that kind of way. Perhaps getting ourselves acclimatised for Saturday. The wind always likes to accompany us up the road. But we really should have won the game on Saturday as well. It was really just kind of a wee bit of composure in the final third. Just a wee break of the ball that's prevented us coming up on Saturday. Maybe with a free hit, considering the fixture that's elsewhere.
Tell us about the astonishing game at Oakleview then against league leaders, where you ended up winning the game 6-1. But I tell you, when we were looking at the scores midway through the second half, we went, that has got to be wrong. It can't be 5-1. And then just with that, it's 6-1. It's like, holy shit, what's going on here?
It was one of the most bizarre afternoons ever supporting Clyde. We've had mental games in the past. I've seen Clyde win 6-3. I've seen us beat Falkirk 6-1 the old Brockville. But that was just different because of the 2 seasons that both clubs have. Stenny were the meanest defence in the league. Don't know how many clean sheets they had even ahead of that point. And we had just been beaten by Forfar on Tuesday night in what was then the biggest game of the season. And you're thinking, okay, we're away at the Champions League, they're going to turn us over, and we need to start planning for the playoff. And it, probably for 20 minutes, the game was kind of looking that way. It took us a while to settle. Defence was looking a wee bit, not shaky, but nervy, as it would against a very good team. But the second that we got our first goal at the half-hour mark, the whole game changed. The lift, we were then 2-1 up just 2-3 minutes later. And thereafter, you were like, there's only one winner of this game. And to say that we blitzed him in the second half, it was an Alamo. I mean, I think three goals in 9 minutes, I think, from about the 55th to the 65th minute, roughly. And then Jordan Allen scored the sixth after 70 minutes. And you're thinking, this could be 10, just the way we were going. And Jameson and Stenny's goal had other saves to make, so it wasn't just that everything we hit went in. We were very, very, very worthy of that victory. Maybe 6-1 was slightly flattered, right? But if it finished 3 or 4-1, I don't think anybody would have argued that that was a fair reflection in the game.
Yeah.
It was. We were just ruthless, absolutely ruthless. Martin Rennie scored what, in my opinion, is worthy of a goal of the season contender. I know that some will argue that there was one against us a few weeks before that might be up there. But yeah, I think I don't think any of the camera angles really show you just how good Martin Rennie's goal was. But I mean, it started about 5-6 yards outside the post, and the whip that the ball had in, it was a sensational strike. But yeah, I think after the fifth goal, I didn't even celebrate. I just turned round to everybody that I was with my jaw hitting the floor, and I mouthed a few expletives, I'm sure, just to say what is going on. I didn't know what to do by that point. The third and fourth goals, a near black toot, was celebration. We just like, oh God, that's it, surely game over. The fifth and sixth goals were just like, is this a sign of the apocalypse? Do we need to run to the bunker? Was the four horsemen coming in next? it was just a bizarre afternoon. And I mean, it was quite fun watching Craig Telfer join off after 4-1 as well. You get a wee wave goodbye from the away section that day.
Good. So obviously with Bonnie Leg and Instrum Ra both playing each other on Saturday, what's best case scenario for you then? Obviously you're looking to win the game on Saturday, but you know, a draw in that game and a win would put you level on 31 points with those two, or would you take one of those sides getting beat and then moving above one of them?
It's a really tough question to ask or answer. We've got Stranraer the week after at home, and we can't obviously turn our attention to that. My preference would be a draw, and for us to do what we really do and beat ourselves. But at the same time, I'm very much like, if we can avoid defeat, pretty much any other result there doesn't matter so much, because you're going to have at least one of them. I do think with Stranraer on the horizon, maybe preferable to them losing if I had to choose. But at the same time, I am getting greedy now. And for the first time in I don't know how long, I'm kind of thinking that we've got a chance to come up and actually have a real goal for a change. In recent times when we've come up to Balmoral, we're like, can we sneak a draw? There's genuine confidence and belief that this Clyde team, a 1-11, is as good as most in this league now because of the work that was done in January. And even looking at from the last time we played, we've added another two players since then. We've enhanced the goalkeeping department, bringing in Brian Kinnear, who was with West Ham and Falkirk more recently, and Cammy Ballantyne, who I'm sure you'll know from his spell on loan at Montrose. We've got him in loan for Jones. He's just a real class act there player. There's real confidence in the squad as well, not an arrogance, but there's a confidence that we can go anywhere and win. So I wouldn't be surprised, and you might not like me for saying this, come Saturday if we are off the bottom. But I can't believe I'm actually uttering that, because every other time I'm on this show, I'm always like, I mean, if I can get a draw, that's magic. I'll go down the road and get my chip away and I'm delighted.
Yeah.
This time, I would be still happy enough with a draw.
Yeah.
And because of the way the fixtures have went, yeah, I'm not saying I would accept a defeat, But if it's not the the end of the world, is kind of the way some of the other defeats have felt, mm-hmm. because we do have Stranraer next week,
yeah.
and these two are squaring off against each other.
Yeah, and I think you've got Dumbarton and Steny after that as well. Obviously, Steny, you would think, would have the title wrapped up by then. Dumbarton, you'd think, would have, or you would maybe think that they've got a playoff spot already secured. So you're thinking then that's maybe two, three hits in a row.
Well, that's the hope, but then in the back of my mind, I'm wary that the other teams around us are going to potentially have the same mindset.
Yeah.
And with now Bonnie Wright making an unexpectedly late managerial change, I think that kind of caught most people off guard just purely on a timing basis. You don't know if they're going to have that new manager bounce right away. But yeah, like, even for yourselves, like, if you guys obviously get a playoffs kind of spot secured, I'm really hoping you don't, you know, start planning for who's ahead either, because we're going to need, even though it's technically in our own hands, technically, we're likely still going to need somebody just to take those points off. Because I'm already looking at our final game of the season away to Elgin. And if you think our record at Balmer's bad, you should see our record at Boro Briggs. it's not a game I would really want to go into needing anything from. I would just rather go up there, 4 points, gap, or some remarkable goal difference swing required.
Yeah, well, we've got Bonnie Rigg the week after at Bonnie Rigg, so yeah, that could be a big couple of weeks for us as well. Yeah, just to see if this new manager bounce comes in. So that'll be next week. So what are you expecting from Saturday? Obviously, you're going with a bit of confidence. We are sort of sitting just in one win in eight. You guys are doing relatively well. 4 wins out of your last 8 since the two sides have met. So, form-wise, you're coming into it pretty well. I'm trying to big you up as much as possible so you can get a massive fall. seriously, how do you see it going then?
I mean, a lot will depend on... I think we're largely unscathed injury-wise from the weekend. I'll be at training on Thursday to do kind of media work, so kind of get a lay of the land there and get the pre-match out. So we've got a pretty much full squad to choose from, I would imagine. I don't think Ian's got any other way of setting up. He doesn't play for draws. He will set us out to go on the attack now, because that's just the players that we've got. We don't really have a particular defensive-minded starting 11, really.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that we will go for it. So if you do likewise, it could be a classic. And I'll go for a Clive today with an odd goal in 5.
Yeah. you don't want to be conceding a late penalty either.
Well, yeah, I think I won't speak for the boys, but I think they're looking to right what happened that day. There was certainly a feel of, let's put it this way, our assistant manager got a touchline ban for his way of putting his point across, shall we say, to the referee at full time whistle. So, yeah, obviously it was. Can I put it politely, highly controversial, the penalty kick decision. Some would say just not a penalty, but hey, I don't want to turn this into a 3-hour rant back and forth between ourselves. But yeah, and I think that day as well was probably not one of our better performances, but I think we've probably done enough over the piece to see it out. I was actually probably quite surprised by ourselves that day, because it was probably the poorest of the team
Yeah,
you against us certainly this season to today, and it was a bit more disjointed than normal. Mm-hmm. So please replicate that at the weekend with my plea. But I think the boys will be fired up by that, but at the same time, we can't let emotions get the better of us because of something that happened in a previous game. We've just got to focus on what we do, and if we play to our best, we'll have a damn good chance on Saturday. That's the way I see it now. Whereas, the fixture back in December, if we played our best and you played even to 70%, you guys are still more than likely going to come out victorious. So that's where the club have came on, certainly on the park. So there's a cautious optimism and confidence in the club support ahead of a game in Peterhead, which is near unthinkable.
It's shaping up to be a interesting end of the season for both of us. And it's certainly didn't look it that way for a long time for yourselves, but you've closed it back, as I said. So it could be a good game as well, entertaining game as well. So hopefully it's something to get us going. But as ever, Paul, pleasure to have you on. Always enjoy our chats. There's a slight chance we could be talking again next season.
I hope I'm not, but I hope that means that Peterhead have been promoted, nothing else, right? But yeah. We can have a season break for each other, but only if you guys get promoted.
Do you know what's going to happen? If we do get promoted, we'll end up getting a draw in a cup or something like that as well, in the League Cup or the Challenge Cup and the Scottish Cup, just to really rub it in. But that would just be the way. But no, thanks again. As always, pleasure to talk to you. You never know what the future holds, but we may talk again this season. But I've enjoyed your company this season anyway.
And you, Paul. Cheers, mate.
So that is it for this week. Do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks goes to Paul Shanks for joining me to preview the Clyde game on Saturday, and to Martin Smith for being here as always. Thank you everyone for listening and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in, we do appreciate them. Martin and I will be back again next week, so until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.